All right, so we are holding on Zion Amud Aleph, 8th line, by the true Dot. Recorded yesterday a long brisa that gave us basic definitions of Rishus Yochid, Rishus Rabin, Karmelis, and Makom Tzur. And now we're in the middle of analyzing that. We dealt yesterday with the analysis of the Rishus Yochid part, the Rishus Rabin part, and we started with the one about Karmelis. We had in the list, we had in the Braisa over there, we had a list as follows. We had the definition of a Karmelis was Yam, a lake or an ocean, or Bika, an open area of fields, which we dealt with yesterday. The question, is it in fact open or is it fenced in? The Sivonis, we said an area with benches in front of the benches and pillars in front of stores, and a Karmelis. So the question is, and now that's where we're up to. Zayin Amud Aleph, about Karmelis. What do you mean? Also, kul lav nami lav Karmelis minu. And everything we listed so far, isn't a Karmelis? Why are we listing Karmelis separately as though it's a separate category when that's exactly what these things are, is Karmelis?
We said we're saying it separately.
Well, because we're saying Yam, Bika, Istavonis, and Karmelis. So that seems to imply that there's a separate kind of thing called a Karmelis, but everything else is like, everything else is also Karmelis. So he also Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yishon and Lanitzcha El Akerim Zavis Asmucha Lushas Rabin. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rav Yechanan that the chiddush is we're talking about when you have a corner that is near Rishus Rabin. Rashi has two explanations what that means. One is you have a row of houses in front of Rishus Rabin, and then you have one house is set further back from the street than the other ones. So now what happens is, therefore, so you have, so his property line still goes until the end, like everybody else's. But the fact is his house is not built there, and people from the Rishus Rabin are able to walk in there. No, there's no separation. Here's a diagram. Rather, you'll just have to see it when you get here, I guess. You have a row of houses, and in the middle you have one that's set further back in.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
So therefore, so that area over there, Afagav, even though the Zimna Daski Bay Rabin, even though sometimes when there's a lot of traffic on the street, people push their way in and go into that area. Nevertheless, Kivindala Nichatashmishte, but it's not that easy to use because you can't just walk straight in there. You have to go on an angle to get in there. Therefore, Kikarmelis Dummy, therefore it is like a Kikarmelis. Hello. So that is what. That is what that is what the Braita means when it mentions Karmelis. It means that kind of thing. And in fact, Mephoshim explained that really is the existence of such a thing is exactly why the Chachamim first made the concept of Karmelis in the first place. You have to ask, for example, I mean, why would the Chachamim have had to make a takana, let's say, that a lake or bika or whatever, that it should be considered not quite the Shusha Yachim. On the face of it, those things are not that easily confused. Or some of it, if they're fenced in, then there's a garden, if it's fenced in, then it's 10 by 10. Then it's 4 by 4. Anyway, the point is, the Chachamim to begin with made up the concept of Karmelis is to cover such a case where you have an inset house over there where the area in front of it is usable as part of Rishus Rabin, but not that easily, because that is very easily confused with Rishus Rabin, because right next to it. And therefore, once they did that, then they also included other kinds of things that are not quite Rishus Yochid and not quite Rishus Rabin either, and included them under the definition of Karmelis. That's all one explanation of Rashi. Rashi gives another explanation, which is that Keren Zavet HaSmuchal Rishus Rabin is, imagine you have, again, a row of houses, each one with the front of a house facing Rishus Rabin, and then you have one of them is built on a 45-degree angle. So you have an angle of a corner of the house sticking out. Here's a diagram of
how my house is.
Your house is? Okay.
Yeah, because everyone, I'm on my album, my address is Clove, I'm in the corner.
Okay. Because I don't know if that's quite the same thing. Here, you can see it in the second diagram. You can see in the second diagram an example of what we mean. So you have those two little triangles I'm showing you in a second.
Oh, that's the middle.
That's the one I'm talking about. Okay. And then the first one was where it's just set back a little bit. So the first one in Rashi is here where the house is set back a little bit. The other one is where it's on a diagonal, and therefore you have two triangular areas in front of it. Rashi gives both those explanations.
No, but
diagonal.
From the old school. Yeah. So that's what we mean by kindness. Okay. he also did a Dimi Omer of Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came in the name of, he reported in the name of Rav Yechanan, another din, Bein Ha'amudin Nidin Kikandlis, an area in the street, in the Rosh Hashanah, where you have pillars, the area between the pillars is considered Rosh Hashanah. It is considered Kikandlis. Sorry.
You know, those like some sort of...
So what we mean basically is, that here's a diagram. Here's a diagram. You have a bunch of pillars scattered randomly in one area of the street, basically. So the area between those pillars is not quite so easy to walk through that top one.
That's a Kikandlis.
So therefore, that would be an example of a Kikandlis, because you can't walk through that area that easily. My time, even though Rabin walked through it, since they can't walk through the straight because the pillars are in the way, to Kikandlis Damya, then it counts as a Kikandlis. So if they're 9 tefachim tall, we're going to talk later on in the Gemara, we're going to talk tomorrow, I think, that if you have a pole 9 tefachim, if you have a pole 9 tefachim, exactly 9 tefachim tall in Rosh Hashanah, then yes, people use it to adjust their loads on it, and therefore it counts as part of Rosh Hashanah. But here we're not talking about it. Here we're passing these poles are either much shorter or much taller than that. So what it is, so Rashi describes the situation is you have the purpose of these poles is that merchants hang their things to sell on them. So they have benches in that area for the merchants to sit. They have poles on which they hang their merchandise.
People are not walking there that much. Why would it be?
So that's the point. In other words, it is part of the Shusharabim. It is in the middle of the Shusharabim. It's not off to the side.
Oh.
But nevertheless, that's the point. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan is saying that it doesn't count as full Rosh Hashanah.
The 9 Tfachim we'll learn later on about.
9 Tfachim we'll get to later on. We're talking about these poles that they are not for people to adjust their loads on, but for merchants to hang things on. Okay. Omer of Zera, Omer of Yehuda. It's the Vashalifnei Ha'amudim Nidim Kikandlis. So Rav Zera says in the name of Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that the benches, the Istva, the ledges, whatever, that are in front of these pillars, Nidim Kikandlis. Is considered like timeless. So we have two different dinim. We had Rabbi Yechanan telling us that the area between the pillars themselves is timeless, and we have Rabbi Yehuda telling us that the area of the benches is timeless. So the manda on the Beinah Amudim Kol Shekin Itzra. If we say, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that even the space between the pillars, even when there are no benches there, it's still considered timeless because it's not that easy for people to walk through Kol Shekin Itzra. How much more so where the benches are, because that's even harder to walk over.
Benches are harder, benches bigger. No?
That's the point. In other words, they're higher off the ground. You actually have a discussion among Rishonim, how tall exactly are these benches? Normally, if the benches are within 3 tefachim of the ground, we would say it doesn't matter. It's just considered okay, Rosh Hashanah is not exactly smooth, as the Gemara elsewhere, I think the Gemara later on in Amos Esther uses the expression, like you can't shave down Rosh Hashanah with a pair of clippers or something. Inevitably, it's going to be a little bit rough. But usually within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's considered lovehood, it's considered part of the ground. But here, the Rashba talks about the possibility that maybe if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, even then it would be considered timeless because the fact is it's still not that easy to walk over these benches. Okay. So
in the middle of the road, they put sometimes some three feet pillars.
That's what we're saying. They have pillars and they have benches associated with those pillars, right? So that's what we're saying. So Rabbi Yechanan is saying that even that all the area between the pillars is considered timeless. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that only the area where the benches are, where you have in some places between the pillars, you have benches. So Lamanda Amar Bein Ha'amudim, if you say that the area between the pillars is considered timeless, Kol Shekin Itzva, then how much more so the area with the benches, because that's even harder to walk over. Lamanda Omer Itzva, where it points to the opinion Rabbi Yehuda, who says that only the area that the area of the Itzva is considered timeless, Itzva, Udlanicha Tashmishte, then that applies only to an Itzva because it's not so easy to use it, because again, it's not so easy to step over, whether we say it's above 3 tefachim and below 3 tefachim and whatever, it's harder. But between the pillars, much easier to go, because you don't have to step over anything, you just have to dodge the pillars, then he would say that not, and he would say that's Rosh Hashanah.
They're
not as wide, but yeah. So Tosfos asked the question, by the way, if we say that the pillars are, how can we say the area between the pillars is Rosh Hashanah? It's not 16 amos wide. You're not 16 amos between one pillar and the next. Yeah, that's what Risa was saying, Rabbi Yehuda said. Now, how is it Rishus Rabbim if there's not 16 amas between one pillar and the other? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because since the rest of Rishus Rabbim is 16 wide, and here also Rabbim are able to walk through, so it's considered part of Rishus Rabbim as well. Which you have, that's a general concept. When you have a Rishus Rabbim is 16 wide, it doesn't mean the entire thing from beginning to end has to be 16. You have one area that narrows a little bit and then widens, it would still be considered Rishus Rabbim. We actually mentioned that yesterday in connection with the L-shaped pieces around the well. The path of the road is over there. We're pointing to Yehuda. You have to reroute the road because otherwise going through there and seeing the path of the Masita, and it would be considered Rosh Hashanah, even though you have less than 16. Yeah. So that's the bottom line. Okay, Lishna, another version of that last statement. Aval Bein HaAmudim, between the pillars, the Zimnin, the Darsi LeRabim. Sometimes people do walk between the pillars to Rosh Hashanah Damia, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be considered Rosh Hashanah. You actually have a machloikas, a poskim then, who the halacha is like over here. Is the halacha like Rabbi Yechanan, or is it like Rabbi Yehuda? Usually the halacha would be like Rabbi Yechanan, and that's many of the Rishonim say that. The Rambam, I think it is, passes like Rabbi Yehuda and says that it's Rosh Hashanah.
It's much more complicated.
No, it just means that the halacha, it just means that the area where the benches are is timeless, but the area between the pillars where there are no benches is Rosh Hashanah, same as the rest of Rosh Hashanah. So chairs are a little bit different because chairs are a little, well, first of all, that's, but they're still less than 10 talking, but more to the point, chairs are movable. Movable things in Rosh Hashanah obviously don't make a difference because, they're movable and they're actual points out. We had the other day, and we're going to be discussing now things that people step over or things that people don't step over. We're going to get to that now, but, for example, a chair there is not necessarily my the Rosh Hashanah, but
the fact you have this thing blocking most of the traffic, so it's an extension of the Rosh Hashanah.
So maybe that would be enough. Maybe that would be enough to make that area timeless. I don't know.
What about pedestrian areas?
What about them? I mean, in those days, everything was pedestrian areas, and of course. When we talk about Rosh Hashanah, we mean whether it's pedestrians, whether it's people walking, whether it's wagons. Yeah, same thing. Okay.
Chairs, they have tables.
Again, the chairs and tables, I don't know if necessarily that makes a difference because they're movable. But let's see the next piece over here. Let's see a little bit further later, and we'll see. Okay. Another din. Amar Rabbi Bashila Amar Afkista, Levenus Kufa Birshas Rabbim. Suppose you have a brick that's standing upright in Birshas Rabbim. Now, a brick in those days, the standard size brick in those days was 3x3 tefachim. And then the height of it depended. Sometimes you have thicker bricks and you have thinner bricks. So it wasn't like nowadays where most bricks are. It wasn't like nowadays where most bricks are rectangular.
Three by three.
So you're talking about four and a half, five by five inches. It could be variable. To be a 10 by 6. In terms of, it would be about the same length maybe as a present day brick, but it would be narrow. Yeah, it would be more like a tile in that sense. Yeah. It could be a tefach, could be more, could be less, whatever. For purposes of our Gemara over here, we're going to have to see whether we're talking about that it's below, that it's above or below 3 tefachim tall. We're going to get to that too. Obviously, 10 tefachim tall, although I don't know if anybody made with that size, then it would be Rosh Hashanah, no question about that. But because, yeah.
Some sort of from the best position would probably be down big.
Well, that's stone. That's not quite the same thing, but yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, here we're talking bricks. So bricks were made to a standard size, and then the standard size was 3x3 tefachim and some variable height. So suppose you have it standing up in Rosh Hashanah. In other words, you have the 3x3 surface is on top, and you have the shorter surface is vertical. The shorter dimension is vertical.
It means straight up.
The zorach the talk before now. A person throws something. Let's say a person throws a piece of dough or juicy fruit or whatever. The talk before now, and he smears it and he sticks it to the face of the brick, so it doesn't land on top of the brick. It lands on the face of the brick. Chayav. Then he would be chayav. As long as he threw four amos, of course, because then it's considered like it's in Rosh Hashanah. Because Rashi learns what we have over here is like this. we're talking about anything below 10 tefachim is considered Rishus Rabbah. Now, if we were talking about the top of it, then we would have to distinguish that between 3 and 9 is timeless. But because it didn't land on the top of it, because it landed on the side of it, so it's not even Lavud. Lavud would be if it was within 3 tefachim. Lavud would be Rashi actually learns like this. Either it has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground, in which case Lavud, or Rashi says, that it lands in the air hanging over the ground. Now Rashi doesn't elaborate why that should. Rashi just mentions that later on in the Masechta, we have a case with a similar to this, where you have a wall over there. Somebody throws again something fat and juicy like that or whatever. It sticks to the wall below 10 tefachim, and then he's high. Above 10 tefachim, he'd be perfect because it landed in Makom Ptur. So So when you're talking about the top of it, Rashi says, for example, the top of the brick, the top of a wall or whatever, then that's something that's usually used. Therefore, we would talk about it above or below 10 tefachim as far as is it timeless or makom ptur or what have you. But here where you have it hanging in the air off the side of it, then it's not called a reshus of its own. So then you have to have the difference is only between 10 and above 10. Now, that's all according to Rashi. The Riva says something similar in Tosfos, and he elaborates, and he says the reason is, because directly above the ground, there's nothing in between that Dvela Shmena, that fat fig, and the ground. Therefore, it's considered as though it landed on the ground as long as it's within 10 tefachim
of the ground.
Tosfos learns, not Tosfos, Rabbi Tam in Tosfos learns differently. He says that actually, if the case we have to be talking about over here would be either that it was below 3 tefachim, fine, because then lowered, or it would have to be not like Rashi, that the brick is got to 3 by 3, it would have to be that the brick is at least 4 by 4, says Rabbi Tam. Because only if the brick is 4 by 4 or more, only then do you have, when something sticks to the side of it, is it considered as though it's on top of it, and it's a mockum of its own. Well, then, no, be, well, being, well, the point is that then what we have is something that is stuck to the side of it is the equivalent of something that landed on top of it. And it's within 3 tefachim, it's within 10 tefachim, rather, so therefore it would be kazodic varet. So that's the point, in other words. But it has, so according to Rabbi Tam, it has to be that the brick itself is large enough to be a mokum for itself in terms of 4x4. According to Rashi and the Riva, it doesn't have to be. And as long as it's stuck to the side, then within 10 tefachim of the ground, then he'd still be chayav, right? In Rosh Hashanah, then he'd be chayav, right?
So the bricks in 770.
So the bricks in 770, well, I mean, they don't stick out. They don't stick out 3 tefachim. No, then they're not 4x4 or anything. But no, there you have an actual wall. So if you have it, if somebody were to stand in Eastern Parkway and throw something at the front of 770 or any other building, let's say along Eastern Parkway, and it sticks to the side of the wall, so then you have then it's not so much the din that we're mentioning over here about a brick, then it's more the din that we're going to learn later on in the 11th parak about is it within 10 tefachim of the ground along the side of the wall or above 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim, you'd be potter. Below 10 tefachim, you'd be higher. Either way, of course, it's also, even if it's potter, it's still also in the Rabbanan, but yeah.
So here we're talking about a brick.
So here we're talking about one individual brick.
That sticks out of what?
No, it doesn't stick out of anything. It's sitting there on the ground. It's a loose brick sitting on the ground. Here's a diagram that helps you. Yeah, there's a diagram that helps you. So the top of the brick is 3x3. You have, he threw something and it landed on the side of it.
It's not attached to the ground.
It's not attached to the ground. It doesn't have to be. Okay. So therefore, so again, so according to Rashi and the Riva and Tosfos, it doesn't matter whether it's below 3, for sure he's chayev no matter what. Even if it's above 3, as long as it's below 10, he's still chayev on the grounds that it's not on the top, and on the grounds that it has a direct view of the ground below it. And of course, the ground is much more than 4x4, which answers the question also that what do you have? And didn't we learn before? You have to have hanocha on a place dalad dalad for it to be considered hanocha. The brick over here is not dalad dalad, but the reason is because since it's on the side, then it's in effect the bottle to the floor, right? And the ground is much more than 4x4, right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, no, you would have to have the brick itself would have to be 4x4, and then we would say that if it lands on the side of it within 10 tefachim of the ground, then he's chayav. If it was less than 4x4, then for him to be chayav, it would have to be within 3 tefachim of the ground that it landed.
If it landed on top of that.
If it landed on top, then that's different. Then if it's below 3 tefachim, then for sure he's chayav, because that's bottle service of Rabbeinu. Any more than that, if it's less than 4x4, then it's a makom ptur, and if it's more than 4, if it's 4x4 or more, then it's between 3 and 9, that's a camel.
Makom ptur, he would not be chayav.
He wouldn't be chayav,
and
a camel is often not chayav, but it's also derabban. Makom ptur, it's not also derabban.
Oh,
what?
It's also derabban.
No, makom ptur is both derabban and derabban.
Well, what's the difference?
The difference is that one is a Kaimos and one is a Malkum Tzur.
Yeah, but...
Because the Chachamim found it necessary to declare certain things Kaimos because they're easily confused with the Shifat Avim, and they found they didn't find the need to declare other things, Kaimos, and therefore they left them as, Malkum Tzur.
Because they're not confused with...
Because they're not easily confused with the Shifat Avim, right?
Above 10 would be considered Malkum
Tzur. So above 10, no, so one second. If it's more than 4 by 4, if it's 4 by 4 or more, then above 10, it's considered Rishas HaYachid.
Even though it's
4. Because it's 4 by 4, and it's 10 tall. And we say, we learned the other day, good aspects that we consider as though the walls of it that are below the surface of it, as though they extend upward, and therefore the surface of it is within walls of 10 Tfachim. So then it would be Rishas HaYachid. If it's less than 9, if it's less than 10, then it's still 4 by 4 would be timeless, and if it's less than 4 by 4, it would be Malkum Tzur. But here we're not talking about where it landed on the top. Here we're talking about it landed on the side, and therefore there are different considerations.
Anything that's over was a 10 amos, so it's
ten tefachim.
What makes the Malkum Tzur up there?
Generally speaking, any place in Rishas HaRavim above 10, and timeless also we're going to learn soon, is considered Malkum Tzur. However, if the thing
is like a table, basically.
Yeah. However, if the item itself is large enough, it's 4 by 4. Then if it's 10, then it's Rishas HaYachid. It's separate Rishas HaDan. Okay. Abaye v'rova d'amitavai. So a table, if it's more than 10 tefachim tall, might be a Malkum Tzur, yeah? If it's more than 4 by... No, if it's less than 4 by 4. So if it's more than 4 by 4, then if it's 10, then it's Rishas HaYachid.
Right.
Yeah. So that's not Malkum Tzur.
It's
less than 4 by 4. 4 by 4. Okay.
No, less than 10 in height.
Less than 10 in height. It depends. Is it 4 by 4 or is it less than 4 by 4?
4 by 4.
Then it would be a Kaimos. Although with that said, we had the other day Tosfos for saying that there's no Kaimos with Kalim, so maybe not necessarily. It might not be. A brick is not really a Kaili per se. It's an object. I mean, look. You know, you have unless even for example, it's Mukta on Shabbos, Mukta Machmen Gufoy, unless you designated it before Shabbos to actually sit on it. So far, we haven't dealt with Amos yet. Amos is only 4 Amos. A person is chayav for carrying 4 Amos in Rishas HaRavim. Other than that, we haven't dealt with Amos.
With the height, which
10 Tfachim.
So a table in Rishas HaRavim, would that be considered a Shisayachit?
So if it's 10 Tfachim tall and 4 by 4, maybe the Fakshat would be Rishas HaRavim.
So if it's a Rishas HaRavim, the table, and you're sitting in Rishas HaRavim, so what happens? You transfer, you bring something to your mouth, you bring it from Rishas HaYachid to...
Then you might have a problem. Then you might indeed have a problem. And they're not quite for the air.
Sitting on a
table,
chairs,
okay. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, let's go. Okay. Abaye and Rava d'amitavayu. Now, Abaye and Rava both say this din about the brick that we're talking about, that you threw something and it landed on the side of the brick, that would only be gavoya shlosha. That would only apply if the brick itself is at least 3 tefachim tall. D'le darsi lo rabim, because people don't step on it because it's too high off the ground, so therefore it's considered a mokum of its own. Again, if he threw something and it landed on the side of it, he's chayev, as we said, the various permutations according to the trenum. Al gaba potter, but if he landed on top of it, he would be potter for now. Abaye v'rava d'amitavayu, usha gavoya shlosha, only if it's 3 tefachim tall, only then would it be potter if it landed on the top. D'le'darsi l'rabim, people don't step on it, therefore it's not bottle to Rishas HaRavim, therefore it's considered a kaimelis. And you throw something and it lands in kaimelis, you potter. Avol he's me behi, but when it comes to various kinds of thorn bushes, where people don't step over them because they don't want to get thorns and they don't want to get splinters in their foot, Afol gavdele gvi shloisha, say Abaye and Rava, even if they're less than 3 tefachim tall, nevertheless they do not count as part of Rishas HaRavim. Within 3 tefachim lavud, but that only applies to something that people will actually sometimes step on, and nobody's going to step on these. However, v'chiyah bar Rava says no. Afol he's me behi, no, even thorn bushes and whatever, still, because people who are wearing sandals or shoes can walk on them. So therefore, it can still be considered part of Rishas HaYachid. I will saw you low, but not if there's excrement over there, because nobody's going to step on it with or without shoes, because they want to get their shoes dirty. So therefore, that wouldn't count as part of Rishas HaRavim. But Ravashi, I'm after with Soya. Ravashi says, even Soya, because even though people don't step on it, people will step over it. And we have, well, there's a similar concept we're going to learn later on. Again, the 11th paragraph, we're going to deal with a lot of these, we're going to deal with a lot of these dinim, again, about Rosh Hashanah, and I saw an Achnasa and all this good stuff. And it mentions over there a case where you have a puddle in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, and sometimes people walk through it, but sometimes people don't walk through it, but they jump over it, or they step over it, or whatever. It's still considered part of Rosh Hashanah. So the same way over here, even though nobody's going to step into the Tzaya, but people will step over it, and therefore Rav Ashi says, as long as it's within 3 tefachim, that's fine. You could also step into this. You just don't want it because you don't want to get your shoes dirty. But therefore, instead, people will step over it, and the puddle also, people don't want to get their shoes dirty and muddy and wet and whatever, but yes. The point is, so therefore, Rav Ashi says that even Tzaya, if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, is going to count as part of the Shosarabim. So in other words, in short, if a person were to throw something, carry something from the Shosarabim, and put it on top of this pile of Tzaya, he'd be high. As long as it's within 3 tefachim of the ground. If it's above 3, then again, if it's 4x4 or more, then it would be capital.
People
will step over it, not on it. That's what we said. The fact that people step over it is good enough reason to consider it Rosh Hashanah.
Right, but we said if it's higher than 3.
If it's higher than 3, then no. Then if it's higher than 3, then nobody. Then it's harder for people to step over it, therefore they go around over it. What about it? The hole itself, if it's the hole itself, is probably at least 10 tefachim deep. So it really depends whether it's 4x4. So again, less than 4x4, the opening of it, maybe. Okay, so if the opening of it, yeah, I guess that must be for a person to go down there. You mean a manhole? You mean, yes, some pashtus, then it would be Rosh Hashanah. Okay, onward. Omer Rabbi Dvei Rav Shila, the author of Dini Omer Rav Yechanan, when Rav Dini came, he was from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rav Yechanan, Ein Kaimelus Chosam Abba. The rule is a Kaimelus has to be an area at least 4x4 tefachim, as we were saying. It's not going to be Mokam Tur. But Amr Rav Sheshes, which is Tethes Adasara. Rav Sheshes also says, another din about Kaimelus, it only grabs, meaning it's only considered Kaimelus, up to 10. So we have to figure out what that means. My, which is Tethes Adasara. Ilema, does it mean the Ikim Chitza Asara who have a Kaimelus, that only if there are walls there that are at least 10 fucking tall, only then is it considered Kaimelus. The Eloi Loi have a Kaimelus, and if not, then it would not be considered a Kaimelus. So for example, Rashi says, let's say for example, we talked yesterday about the case, let's say you have a field or an area of fields or whatever, which is fenced in. We said that you're not allowed to carry there the rabbanon. We said it's a form of kaimelus because it's called a karkas because people don't live there. That's the point. Right. Field. And it's more than Beis Tofayim. It's more than 5,000 square amas. And it wasn't a hukas madira. It wasn't fenced in for the purpose of people living there. It was fenced in for the purpose of the planting there and whatever. So therefore, so do you mean to say that only in that case where there is a wall around it of 10 tefachim, who to have a kaimelus, then it would be a kaimelus. But you loy, and if not, loy have a kaimelus. If not, if there's no wall, then it sounds like Rav Sheshes is saying that, it sounds like Rav Sheshes is saying that in that case, it would not be, it would not be considered a kaimelus. Maybe it would be Makom Tur, maybe it would be, So what does that mean, exactly? The problem with understanding it that way, the loy, you're telling me that not. You're telling me if it doesn't have walls 10 tefachim tall, it's not considered a kaimelus. While Omer of Gidol, Omer of Chiba Yosef, Omer Rav, bias she'en b'chtoichei asara, if you have a house where the inside of a house is less than 10 tefachim tall, the kiruye mashlim al asara, the roof beams and the thickness of the ceiling make up the 10 tefachim. So in other words, you have, let's say, so if you walk into the house from the floor until the bottom of the roof beams is 9 tefachim, let's say, then you have the roof is a tefach thick. So if you stand on top of the roof, then you're 10 tefachim above the ground. But if you go inside, it's only 9 tefachim. So the din is al gagoi muta l'talta b'kulei. On top of the roof of such a building, you'd be allowed to carry as much as you want because it's Rosh Hashanah. It's 10 tall and 4x4. But inside the building, because inside is less than 10 tefachim, ein metalta by el adalan amos. You're only allowed to carry it up to 4 amos because it is kaimelus.
In those walls inside?
That's the point, because the walls are less than 10 tefachim. Right. The timeless, the Chachamim gave it, the certain chumras of Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to carry it more than 4 amos. Yeah.
And in Makom Tur?
Makom Tur, you're allowed to.
That's
the difference, yeah. Okay. So you see that even though there are walls less than 10 tefachim around the inside of it, nevertheless, it counts as kaimelus. So what does it mean? Elamai, the tesesis, anyud. So what does it mean when we say that it grabs until 10? Means the anyud who to have your kind. Let's say only up to 10 tochim. That let's say so you have a fenced in area of fields or whatever, or the lake or the whatever. But it's only considered timeless up to 10 tochim. Lamai lamiyud, I have a timeless. Above 10 tochim, it's not timeless. It's considered, again, mokum tur. So
a greenhouse.
I don't know what you mean by a greenhouse.
A greenhouse.
Oh, a greenhouse. Yeah, yeah. Okay, fine.
A greenhouse is higher than 10 tochim.
Is it 4 by 4? Then it's Rosh Hashanah. No?
Of course it's more than 4 by 4.
Well, then maybe that's it. It's Rosh Hashanah. What's the question?
Why is
why you say it's not a timeless?
Why should it be a timeless? It's 10 by 10, and if the inside area is more than base, so fine, then yeah, I guess it would be a timeless. But greenhouse, large enough to be, then yeah, I guess it would be. What were you asking?
The last thing you just said is that if it's above.
If you have, let's say,
above 10.
So you have, let's say, for example, if you have this, we're talking about, let's say, for example, this area of field that was fenced in, the dikha that we talked about yesterday. Within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's considered timeless. Above 10 tefachim of the ground in that area is considered mokum tur. Not so much because people don't walk there, but for example, then let's say, Rashi gives an example, you're standing in there and somebody throws something from the Shasa Yachid, let's say, and catch it above 10 tefachim, then you would be allowed to take it out to the Shasa Yachid or to the Shasa Rabbi. It's not considered timeless because it's mokum tur. So,
trying to understand why would that spot be different than Rosh Hashanah?
Because it was fenced in 4x4. So on a daraisa level it is on a daraisa level it is Rosh Hashanah because it's fenced in. On a Dirabonan level, we're saying that because we're making that area to be timeless. We're making that area to be timeless, and timeless only goes up to 10 tefachim, because otherwise, Rashi says, because otherwise you're going to have timeless is going to be more stringent than Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim midaraisa only goes up to 10. So timeless, therefore, also only goes up to 10. Now you do have a good point, which is that if it's fenced in and under right the level of Shasa Yachid, so how can the Chachamim say, for example, that if you catch something in above 10 tefachim, you should be able to take it out to Shasa Rabbim, as Rashi says? So actually, I don't know. I'll have to look at that. I'm not sure.
It's more than
based on time. It's still under right, still be Shasa Yachid. It's only Madar Abonim, I'll have to tell you. So maybe the answer is that midaraisa would actually be considered a mokum tur. But why should it be? Why would 10? It has a wall. It has a fence 10 tefachim around it. It's moving 4x4. So why should it not be? Why should it not be in Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. No. That's the first thing that happened. Rosh Hashanah, you don't have any 600,000 people. I don't know. We'll have to look into it. We could, I guess, if it helps. Maybe let's learn the Rashi Dad Yud have a timeless, and let's see if we can answer it by doing it. It's in the middle of the Rashi on the wide line. A Dad Yud have a timeless. Either shall bika, the airspace above an area of field, the shoyam, or the sea, or shall kai profiosal beis pasayim, or an enclosed area more than beis pasayim. Tofes is shmoyan yud. It grabs, meaning it has the status of timeless up to 10 tefachim. Avalamaylam yud ancient timeless alaviroi. But above 10 tefachim, the area that is not called timeless, the dover she'enim suyam, where it's something that does not have a definition of its own. For example, the front face of a brick, because we're talking about the case where you threw something and it landed on the front of the brick, the face of the brick is not really considered a dover mesuyam as compared to the top of the brick. The face of the vertical surface, then. The vertical surface of a wall, or if he caught something in the air above 10 tefachim, then he's allowed to take from there to Rosh Hashanah. So I'm the ancient timeless, although it's not called timeless. Just as above 10 tefachim is not considered Rosh Hashanah, it's Mokum Tur. Kedusan, come on, as we learn later on in the 11th Perek, that if a person throws something that lands on the side of a wall above 10 tefachim, it's as if he threw it into the air, and therefore he potter. He's got a timeless. Now, I mean, by timeless, who's by timeless? Both are not considered timeless. On the other hand, if a dover mesuyam, exactly, he's going to say that. Over dover mesuyam, now we can't, Now, we can't be, well, government Suryam Quinn Rosh Omer Begad Levena Lekala Ukme. We can't be talking about when he says that up to 10 is timeless, is only referring to a government Suryam, something that has an independent status of its own, for example, the top of a pillar or the top of a brick. Lekala Ukme. We can't say that that's what the Gemara is talking about. The E is Be'abar, because if it's at least 4 by 4 in size, Pishit Delamayla Masarale have a timeless, and of course, above 10 it's not timeless. You have to go Omer Rosh Sarabim Rosh Yachadu, because after all, a pillar of that size, even a pillar of that size in Rosh Sarabim would be considered Rosh Yachid. The E, the less Be'abar, and if it the less Be'abar, if it's less than 4 by 4, or the Masa Masarale, if it was less than 10, we have a timeless, still wouldn't be timeless. How come? I mean, timeless for some above. He said a timeless would be at least 4 by 4. The either to koi the timeless, and if you're talking about the pillar is standing in timeless, the kivin the less they dollar to have a shema timeless all of, and you're saying because this pillar, let's say, is less than 4 by 4, therefore it's bottled to the timeless, and therefore it's called by the name of the timeless, and you would say that above 10 it would still be a problem. In Ken Masinu, no, we would say that even below 10 it would be considered a timeless. Can't be. In Ken Masinu, koyma the timeless, remember Rosh Hashanah, and then you would find out a timeless has a case where it's more stringent than Rosh Hashanah. The pillar of that size, less than 4 by 4, below 10, Rosh Hashanah would be mokimtur, and timeless, you're going to say it's going to be timeless. The ilu b'Rosh Hashanah ki ha'gav ne'mokim turhu b'asul mutter lo Rosh Hashanah lo Rosh Yafid v'anana minin b'shmaitim. Later on Amud Beis, we're going to say the high test that we said you and mikulah Rosh Hashanah. This that we say that a timeless only extends up to 10 tefachim is a kula that is one of the coolest that applies to Rosh Hashanah, and the Chacham implied it to timeless as well. Hilchah, let me tell you something. Elam Avira, so the only way to make it work would not be where you're talking a vertical, a horizontal surface which is above 10 tefachim, but rather in the air above 10 tefachim.
What?
That let's say again, what we say, the timeless is only considered timeless until 10. We don't mean if there's an actual defined built thing over there. We mean just the airspace above 10 tefachim in the timeless is considered mokum tur. So, okay, we're still left with the question, I guess, why it is that the area is 10
above the timeless.
Above the timeless is considered mokum tur. Yes, that's what we're trying to say. Yeah.
Anything above 10.
That's right. Well, in Rosh Hashanah, yes, in Rosh Hashanah, no. But, yeah. Because so we still have the question, you're right, we still have the question, if it's fenced in, and if the bonus boxed in, and midoraisa, it should be a Rosh Hashanah, so how can Rashi be saying that you're allowed to transfer from there to Rosh Hashanah? I don't know, I'll have to look it up.
Maybe because it's a place for field, kids don't live there.
Doesn't matter, it's still on a midoraisa level on the face of it, it ought to be considered a Rosh Hashanah, because it's fenced in, and it's more important. I don't know, I'll have to look it up. Okay. Anyway, onward. Okay, so that's what it means, in other words, that. So again, so the case of the house that's less than ten tefachim tall, and only the outside is 10 tefachim tall, is not a contradiction to Rav Sheshes. The case where because there you have the inside of it is indeed less than 10 tefachim tall, and therefore it would be timeless. Okay. The chihad amale Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, as we find that Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, shinina sharp one like to have it the milu the Shabbos to lamayla miyud. Don't analyze cases involving Hilchas Shabbos when it comes to Karmelis or Rosh Hashanah above 10 tefachim, because above 10 tefachim in Karmelis or Rosh Hashanah is not subject to the dinim of Shabbos. It's mokum tur. So the question is, what does it mean above 10 lamay hilchas?
So that implies that you can take from Rosh Hashanah
to mokum tur. Yes, of course. That's what we've been saying the whole time. But not in Karmelis, because midrabanan there. Actually, as far as the question we were just asking about the bika and whatever, so actually that question about isn't it a Rosh Hashanah, Tosfos asked that question over here, I haven't noticed. Tosfos asked the question that, in any case, going to, never mind what Rav Gidol said about a short house, just the fact we heard before that a place like that is considered a Rosh Hashanah and only Midrabanan to be considered a panelist. So what's going on over here? So, and after all, also Tosfos says that if you're talking only about walls, a lake or a bika doesn't necessarily have walls. So Tosfos has a whole different explanation of the Gemara over here. That when the Gemara asks, do you mean that up to 10 is timeless, and if not, then not? We're talking about where there's that the Gemara had thought that maybe you need to have that at least you have the possibility of walls over there.
Hmm.
Which means, in other words, Tosca says, let's say, for example, imagine you had you put a tarp or something over it within 10 tefachim of the ground supported by poles. So there's no room to build wall 10 tefachim. There's no room to build a fence 10 tefachim because then the tarp is in the way. So that's what the Gemara thought, that maybe therefore that area shouldn't be considered a timeless, and the answer is that it is. The answer is that whether above or below the tarp would still be considered timeless up to 10 tefachim.
Let's say a posturing field fenced in.
So if it's fenced in, then so if it's fenced in, then again, according to Rashi, it would be up to 10 is Kaimelus, and above 10 is Mokum Tur. And
up to 10
would be Kaimelus. And according to Tosfos also it would be, but the Tosfos explained the Gemara's question, that the premise of the Gemara's question was that maybe you have to have at least the possibility of wall 10, and that's why we asked from the short house, and the answer is that's not what we're talking about. It doesn't matter whether there's a possibility of wall 10 high or not, it just depends, are we within 10 to bottom of the ground or above it. Onward. Okay, so the question is, when Shmuel tells Rav Yehuda, don't be analyzing cases above 10 tefachim, l'may hilchta, relative to what halacha? Ilema de'en Rishos HaYachid l'may l'miyud, do you mean that he's saying that Rishos HaYachid doesn't extend above 10 tefachim? Can't be, v'alam nafisa, na'at konav Rishos HaYachid, if a person sticks a stick into the ground in Rishos HaYachid, v'zorach v'nachal gabav, and then he throws something and it lands, and then the stick is less than 4x4, and he throws something and it lands on top of the stick, from Rishos Rabim, even if the stick is 100 amas tall, chayev. If nature Rishos Yachid, Ola Amor Afiyah, because Rishos Yachid goes all the way up to the sky.
So wherever.
So far above 10 tefachim. So by the way, I mean, even though you have to have that's on a mokum dalad al dalad, as we learned before. So either one possibility is some of the Rishonim say that maybe it's a chik that disagrees with that concept that we said before that you need dalad al dalad, or not necessarily. You could say that the kana is basically bottle to Rosh Hashanah because after all, it's stuck into the ground and therefore it's like a building. It's like a building over there. So therefore, okay.
How would you make that mokum? What criteria would it take to make it a
mokum tur? To make it a mokum tur, without it can't. If it's in your shushi, then it's a rishus yachid. Part of rishus yachid. Ela de en rishus rabim l'mayla miyud. Do you mean that Shmuel is telling Rabbi Yehuda, don't worry about rishus rabim above 10 tefachim because mokum tur? Shmuel doesn't need to tell us that. Must listen. He says that in the Mishnah. That's not. Again, we learn later on in the 11th parak. Hazerik dalat amas bakoy. So if a person throws something 4 or more amas in rishus rabim, and it sticks to the side of a wall, l'mayla miyud tefachim, if it was above 10 tefachim from the ground, hazerik ba'aver, then it's as if he threw in the air and therefore he's potter because it landed in a mokum tur. And if it's below 10 tefachim, then it's like he's throwing it onto the ground and therefore he's higher. So we see clearly from that Mishnah that Rosh Hashanah goes up until 10 tefachim.
We don't need that.
So we don't need Shmuel to be telling Rabbi Yehuda. We don't need Shmuel to be telling Rabbi Yehuda that. Ella a Kaimelus. No, we have to say that Shmuel is referring to the case of Kaimelus, the Ein Kaimelus L'mayla Miyud. He wants to inform Rabbi Yehuda, which we don't find explicitly in Mishnayos, that Kaimelus does not go above 10 tefachim. There's not go above 10 tefachim. The Akilu Barabanan Mikulei Rishus Yachid Mikulei Rishus Rabim. So the Chachamim gave the Kaimelus the Kulos of Rishus Rabim and the Kulos of Rishus Yachid. Mikulei Rishus Yachid, they gave it the leniency of Rishus Yachid. The Iikamokam Abahu to have a Kaimelus the Iloy Makam Tur Baalmu. That only when it's 4x4, which is the minimum size for Rishus Yachid, only then if it's below 10 is it considered a Kaimelus. Below 10 or wasn't fenced in for living in or whatever. So it has to be at least 4x4. That
4x4 below 10?
4x4 below 10 would be one example of Kaimelus. Another example is 4x4. Yeah, 4x4 below 10. So regardless whether, for example, we're talking about a pillar that's standing in the Rishus Rabim, regardless whether we're talking about, for example, as we said before, a brick above 3 fucking tall in Rishus Rabim or a pile of excrement or whatever, regardless whether we're talking about a fenced-in area of fields or whatever, above 10 tefachim, as long as it needs to be at least 4x4, it needs to be at least 4x4, that's what we mean that they use the kula of Rishus Yachid. The Chachamim, when they define Kaimelus, they say, look, Rishus Yachid has to be at least 4x4, therefore, we're only going to consider a Kaimelus if it's at least 4x4. And the kula of Rishus Rabim, we also gave it the kula, the Chachamim also gave it the kula of Rishus Rabim, the ad yud tefachim hu da'av yekaimelus, that only up to 10 tefachim from the ground is a kaimelus, l'maylam yud tefachim, I have a kaimelus, and above 10 tefachim it's not. So that's the definition of kaimelus. So that's what Rav Sheshet means when he says, v'kefetet ad asara, that kaimelus grabs, meaning it has that status up to 10, it means above 10 tefachim, it means above 10 tefachim from the ground of kaimelus is no longer kaimelus. Welcome
to is up to 4x4.
It's more than 4. 4x4 or more. And below 10. Yeah.
And below 10.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be in Rosh Hashanah. A lake, for example, or a lake, for
what's
example.
What's the difference between that and Rosh Hashanah?
Because Rosh Hashanah has to have walls around it, at least 10, and it has to be at least 4x4. So if it has walls, 10, then if it has walls 10 tall, then it's
Rosh Hashanah. So the difference in the Kamis of Rosh Hashanah is the walls, basically.
Sometimes, I mean, it depends. Does it have, does it have wall 10 or not?
Right?
Yeah.
No,
because again, when you have, for example, a fenced-in area, a carpet, we said you still still not allowed to carry in it, but I bought them. It's still a form of cannabis. It's still a form of cannabis, even though its rules are more than 10 fucking tall, because more than base of time, and it wasn't hookup for deer.
That's 4x4, and walled in is Hershey's.
It's going to be Hershey's, yeah.
Right. And everything that's less than base of time and more than 4x4 that's not walled in is primary.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Gopher, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gopher. Getting back to what we said before, yeah. Amr of Gidol, Amr of Chir, by Yosef Amr. I've bias changed totally yod. If you have, we said you have a house where the inside of it is less than 10 tefachim tall. The kiruyim are shlingel yod, and we said the thickness of the roof brings it up to 10 tefachim. Al gagay mutal b'talta b'kulay. So we said that on the roof of it, you're allowed to carry on the whole thing, so the whole top of the roof is Rosh Hashanah. But so say in b'talta b'kulay b'dalad amos. But inside it, you're only allowed to carry up to 4 amos because it's cannabis. So here is a din in that connection. Amar Abaya, the im chokak by Dalad al Dalad. Suppose that the person dug a hole in the ground of this house, at least 4x4 tefachim, the shlima liyud, to make it that it's all the way up to 10 now, mutl taltu b'kulay, now he's allowed to carry in the whole thing. No, obviously if you dug out the whole house, then there's no chiddush in it. The point is, in other words, the house could be 10 amos by 10 amos. It doesn't matter. In one place, in the middle of it, he dug a hole in the ground, 4x4 tefachim. From the bottom of that hole until the bottom of the roof beams is 10 tefachim. Now, even in the parts of the house that are still less than 10 tefachim tall, he's still allowed to carry in the whole thing. That's the point. Yeah. My time, I have a choler rishos yachid, because then those things, that area, the rest of the house, is the equivalent of a hole in a wall that faced towards Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and the din is Bechod Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Yachid double. Those areas are less than 10, right? But since you have one area of the house, 4x4, which is enough to be a defined area, 4x4, as we said, being a mokum for itself. Now it has 10 tefachim from floor to ceiling, and you have walls, even though the walls are much further out, that's okay. The rest of the house now counts like holes in walls that stick out to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you're allowed to count. No, we're not actually talking about. In fact, Tosfos points out the question that when it comes to sukkah, it doesn't work like that. When it comes to a sukkah, if you have the same kind of thing, if you have a sukkah which is less than 10 tefachim tall, which as we know is possible, then if you're going to dig out the ground in the sukkah to make the sukkah taller, you have to have that the digging is within 3 tefachim of the wall to be leveled. Otherwise, it's possible. So why is it different over here? So that's Tosfos says, because the difference is that over there, by sukkah, you have to have the walls are fairly close to the sky. You have to have the rules are fairly close to the stack, whereas over here you don't have any such din. Different other Rishonim give different other reasons. There, Bechlal, you have a din that you have to have mechitza. Here, it's not so much that you have to have mechitza; you just have to have an area 10 tefachim tall. So yeah, okay.
If you did in a sukkah more than 3 tefachim, then wouldn't you love it anymore?
No. So if you have a sukkah which is let's say 9 tefachim tall, and you start digging in the ground to dig out the extra tefa, your digging has to be within 3 tefachim of the walls on all sides. It has to be large enough. So if your sukkah, let's say your sukkah is 20 tefachim by 20 tefachim, then you would have to have your hole is going to have to be at least 14 and some, 14 and a half, let's say, tefachim, by 14 and a half, centered on the sukkah, so that each end of it is less than 3 tefachim from the wall. But by Shabbos, it doesn't work like that. The Itmar, as in fact, we have a discussion on that point. Chole Rosh Hashanah HaYachid, holes in the wall that face towards Rosh Hashanah Yachid, no question, to Rosh Hashanah Yachid Damu, no question they count as Rosh Hashanah Yachid, everybody agrees to that. Chole Rosh Hashanah Rabim, what about holes in a wall that face towards Rosh Hashanah Rabim? There you have a machlok. Abaya Omer Kirosh Hashanah Rabim Damu, Rabba Omer Lav Kirosh Hashanah Rabim Damu. Abaya says they count as part of Rosh Hashanah Rabim because they're not a Rishut of their own. Because they're bottled to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and Rava is saying they're not like Rosh Hashanah Rabim because they're either cannibalists or mock up sure, but not Rosh Hashanah Rabim.
Walls that are after, let's say.
Wall, you have a wall next to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. You have a hole in the wall. Imagine, for example, think of like a kozel. You have those huge holes in various places in it where people put kvitlach or whatever. So Abaya would say that those holes count as part of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Rava would say they're either cannibalists or mocking true. Only Rava Abaya. So Rava asks Abaya, but the doch according to you, the Amr Chodesh Rosh Hashanah Rabim, because Rosh Hashanah Rabim double. If you say that they're counted like Rosh Hashanah Rabim, my shna meha why would it be different than the following case? That we had on our Aleph, we talked about the case. We started by asking the question, what does the Braisa mean when it mentioned Carmelis as distinct from, we said, a lake or a bik or an Estevanis or whatever, where after all, all of those are forms of Carmelis. And we said over there that Rabbimi had said in the name of Rabbim, that we talked about you have a corner which is adjacent to, which is next to Rosh Chosid Rabbim. We have two scenarios in Rashi over there, either where you have one house set further back, you have a space in front of it where people can go into, or you have a house that's on an angle compared to the other houses, and therefore you have two triangular areas in front of it. Those are Chosid Rosh Chosid Rabbim, no. Those should be considered like Chosid Rosh Chosid Rabbim. Those should be like holes in a wall that faces Rosh Chosid Rabbim. So that's the question. Rav asked to have it to Chosid Rosh Chosid Rabbim. They should be considered like walls facing Rosh Chosid Rabbim. So why are you telling me that those places count as Rosh Chosid Rabbim when we established before that they're considered timeless? And the answer is, Abaya answers that in that case, it's hard to use it. The purpose of that kind of area would be to walk into. And because it's on an angle or because it's offset or whatever, it's harder to walk into it. Because people, you could obviously, but it's less easy because you don't go direct. You'd have to go off from the rest of the traffic and it's just an admin to go into it. So therefore it's less easy to use, and therefore it's considered timeless. Whereas over here, a hole in the wall that faces the Chosid Rabbim is very easy to use. You have something you need to put down for a minute, you put it down, it's such a hole. So therefore, our bias says it can still count as part of the Chosid Rabbim. Well, usually our bias versus the other, but wait. Okay. Abaya holds that will be considered like Rosh Chosid Rabbim, these holes in the wall facing Rosh Chosid Rabbim. Rava says they'll be timeless or mokum tur depending on the size. Okay, so let's Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah, not our Mishnah, a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, in the 11th Perek, the one that was quoted many times already about throwing something and it lands on the side of the wall, and see which of those two opinions it fits with. Tanan, we learned in that Mishnah, so we said a person throws something 4 amos or more, and it sticks to the wall. L'mayla miyud kizerik ba'avir. If it's above 10 tefachim on the wall, then it's considered like he threw it into the air, and if we caught it because it landed in Makom Tur. L'mayla miyud tefachim kizerik ba'aretz. But if it's below 10 tefachim, it's considered like he threw it onto the ground of Rosh Chosid Rabbim, and therefore he's chayev. Ba'avinan ba. Now we asked in the Gemara over there, my kizerik ba'aretz. Now the Gemara did not realize this that we mentioned all this time that we're talking about. For example, he threw something juicy or whatever and stuck to the wall. When we first learned that Mishnah in the 11th Perek, the Gemara doesn't know yet of that answer. We're going to arrive at it by question and answer. But first, the Gemara assumed that we just mean a plain old thing. Let's say a person takes a rock or a ball or whatever and throws it at a wall and it lands above 10 tefachim. So the question is, so we asked about that. What do you mean it's as if he's like throwing it onto the ground? Well, it doesn't land because you throw it against the wall and it bounces back. So he says, and in particular, the Gemara explains over there that we're talking about he threw it exactly 4 amos. Once it bounces back, then it lands within 4 amos of him, so he can't be hired. If he had thrown it, let's say 8 amos or whatever, and it bounced back a little from the wall, fine. It still went more than 4 amos because it was koyach, and probably it was high for that reason alone. Although then again, there's also not a distinction necessarily between above and 10. Well, there is still a distinction between above and 10. Right, so that's the question, in other words. But so if it bounces off the wall, then what are we talking about? Above 10 tefachim and below 10 tefachim? Either way, it's not landing on the wall. So there's where Rabbi Yechanan says that we're talking about, for example, he throws a fat, juicy fig, and it sticks to the side of the wall. Now, thus far the Mishnah and the discussion on it. Now, the question is, if you tell me that holes in the wall are considered like Rosh Chosid Rabbim, like Abaya says, why does the Gemara need to force itself to say that we're talking about a fat fig? Let us just be talking about that you threw a stone or something. Let him say that it's talking about he threw a pebble or he threw some other object, and it landed in a hole in the wall. If according to Abaya, it doesn't matter the size of the hole, it's still part of Rosh Chosid Rabbim, then you have a much simpler case. He threw a rock, it landed in a hole in the wall, and then it bounced back because it landed in a hole. It's saying this. That would be much simpler than saying that. Then having to say that after a figure stuck to the side of the wall.
Sticks to the wall.
Exactly. I understand, but the point is, if you have a hole large enough in the wall, and a point out by it, it doesn't matter the size of the hole, even if it's 4x4, it's still considered part of a shisar. It's still considered part of a shisar. So you can very easily throw something, and it lands in a hole in the wall over there, and doesn't come back up. It's fairly simple. Only four. I remember he's not throwing only four ammo.
He throws a rock and it stays on the wall.
Yeah, because again, there was a hole in the wall. You're not listening. There's a hole in the wall. Okay, so there's a hole in the wall large enough to. Not if it lands on the horizontal surface of the hole. You have a hole in the wall large enough that can land in there and stay there. And that would be a much simpler case. So what's the answer? So the Gemara says that there are two possible answers. Zimnin Mishanula, sometimes... Why are we adopted using a fig? When we, according to Abaye, we could use a much simpler example where there's a hole in the wall and he threw something and it landed in the hole, right? So Zimnin Mishanula, sometimes Abaye would answer that question by saying, the coast of the left, so sometimes he would answer. The fact of the matter is, maybe I guess this is what you're saying, that even a rock or something else, most of the time it's still going to bounce back. It's not usual that it's going to land there. So therefore, it's just as rare a case as to say that it was a thing. That's one answer. So therefore it bounces back, so it winds up within Flamis. Zimdin, Mishanila. Sometimes instead, Abaye would answer that we have to be talking about in that mission, we have to be talking about the wall does not happen to have any holes in it. And therefore, the only way to make it work would be with a fast thing.
Well, the hole is smaller than the rock.
Well, okay, fine. Same thing. The point is that there's not a hole large enough for him yet. Okay. So the question then becomes, what makes us say that Daska we're talking about in the second answer, that we're talking about a wall that doesn't have a hole? The reason is because the ratio of that same Mishnah says, we said if he threw it and it landed above 10 shvachim on the wall, then it says if he threw it in the air, and he's potter. The sakadaita, because of the isbechur, now says Abaya, if you're going to say that the wall has a hole, am I to zertifather, then why should he be potter for throwing into the air? Hanach b'chur, the fact of the matter is that you had a hanacha, it landed in the hole. The chitema masnif in the left behudal al-dalad. So you might say, very simple, okay, we're talking about the hole is less than 4x4, therefore it counts as a Rishus Rabim. You're right, if the hole was more than 4x4, maybe like Rava says, it would count as Kaimalis or Makam Sura.
Above 10, yeah. Why Rishus Rabim if the wall is a wall that's high up? So
because according to Abaya, that's what we're saying, Chorda Rishus Rabim, because the fact that it's a hole facing Rishus Rabim and that you can easily use it to put things in or take things out when you're standing in Rishus Rabim makes it count as an extension of Rishus Rabim. So if it's above 10, then not. That's what it was in 1 second. So the question is, that's the question. If the hole is above 10, he should be chayim because the fact is it landed in Rosh Hashanah. So you're going to answer, okay, very simple. The hole is less than 4x4, so therefore, therefore it would be makom ptur, but had it been 4x4, maybe indeed it would be considered Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, and he'd be chayim for throwing from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Can't say that. If a person does throw something and it goes to the wall above 10 tefachim, and it does land and it does stay in a hole, even if it's a tiny hole, less than 4x4, then we wind up with the machlokas of Rameir and the Rabbanon, whether the hole is still considered to be 4x4. Name and this being a Sam Mishnah later on, this Mishnah has very valid on this, is a Sam Mishnah, it should be according to Rav Meir. Did Rav Meir saw a chokikin lahashtim? We have a case, we have a concept a few times in Shas where Rav Meir holds that we can consider conceptually as though something was carved out to make a large enough space for the purpose. Meaning, the original case where Rav Meir is talking about is, let's say, for example, you have a doorway. You have a doorway, is it chayiv in the mezuzah? Now let's say the doorway is 10 tefachim tall, which is the minimum it needs to be. It's four tefachim wide, so it's the minimum. The problem is that it's an archway. So therefore, the top of the arch is 10 tefachim above the ground. By the time you reach 10 tefachim, it's less than 4 tefachim wide because it narrows as it goes up. Rav Meir holds the concept of chokikin lahashlin. We treat the wall as though part of it was carved out to make the door rectangular, and therefore it's higher than the
above 10 tefachim.
Within ten. Again, you have the whole doorway is an arch. It's 10 tefachim tall. It's 10 tefachim tall, but before you get to 10 tefachim from the ground, it starts narrowing. So therefore, so the mayor here you have an illustration.
Yes, it's an arch.
Yes, so it's an arch. Exactly.
Only the middle of 10 Tenfachim.
Right, exactly. Only the middle of 10 Tenfachim.
The arch is below 10 Tenfachim.
No, the arch is not below 10 Tenfachim. The whole, the total height of the arch from floor to ceiling is 10 Tenfachim.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. But
the arch is below 10 Tenfachim.
Oh, it arches, I see what you're saying. Okay, fine. Yeah, so it starts arching before 10 Tenfachim. So the mayor holds Chosikin Lahashlim that we treat the gray areas over here in the diagram as if they were carved out, and therefore you have a thing big enough for to be chayvin mezuza. And the Chacham Rabban and Tzavad Ein Chosikin Lahashlim. Applying that to our Mishnah over here, if there were a hole in the wall, now walls usually are at least 4 Tefachim wide. Walls that face Rosh Hashanah, anyway, are usually at least 4 Tefachim wide, so there is room enough in the wall to conceivably carve out a hole that would in fact be 4x4. And the mayor would hold, we do that. So if you threw something from Rosh Hashanah and it went, it doesn't matter whether it went 4 Amos or not, for Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, you chayv even if it was only a tiny distance. And it lands in a hole, even if it's a tiny hole, the mayor is going to say Chosikin Lahashlin. So why, according to him, would you be possible if it's above 10 Tefachim, you threw from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you should be higher. So obviously, therefore, Elalav Shema Minabachosel the less Bechur. Obviously, therefore, says Abaya, you must say that the wall is talking about over there. It has no hole at all. Since it has no hole at all, because if it did, the mayor would say that you consider it as though it's carved out. Therefore, the only way, so that's one possibility, that's the, therefore, Rabbi Yechon had no choice but to say we're talking about he threw a juicy fig. Because if he threw something else, then it wouldn't stick to the wall, and if there was a hole, then the mayor would say that he'd be chayim above 10 Tenfachim. Yeah, so that's so we've answered the question on Abaya. Nevertheless, the usual rule applies that the Machlokes is Rava and Abaya, except in six cases in Chas, except Yalchagam, the Halacha is like Rava, and that's how it is over here. So these Chori Rosh Hashanah above 10 Tenfachim are not considered Rosh Hashanah. They're considered timeless, or they're considered timeless or Makom Torah, as the case may be, depending on the size of them.
Because even though they're
facing Rosh Hashanah, they themselves, well, it depends whether they're 4x4 or not, but they're not actually part of Rosh Hashanah because people don't actually walk in them. Yes, people can use them as shelves to put things in and take things out, but nevertheless, that's not reason enough to consider them part of Rosh Hashanah, says Rava.
The 4x4, to be considered Rosh Hashanah, it's Tefachim or it's
Tefachim?
It's Tefachim.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So what do we say, a person...
4x4 amos is a person is considered a person's place because when a person lies down and puts his hands above his head, he takes up an area of 4 amos or approximately 4 amos.
Right.
So therefore, that's considered his makom. So in Rosh Hashanah, therefore, it means he's allowed to carry less than that amount. In timeless also, he's allowed to carry less than that amount, and still within like his, so to speak, his personal temporary Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So for a person. Rosh Hashanah is considered he when it's 4 because it's 4x4.
Yeah.
But a regular
Rosh Hashanah is 4x4 Tefachim, right?
Right.
Okay.
I'm
clarifying. So Amos when it comes to a person's Mokum, and Tefachim when it comes other than that for defining Rosh Hashanah or Kamel. Okay. That's okay.